Welcome to the Blue Rose Task Force podcast, where we look deeply into Twin Peaks as a whole, one episode at a time, using the full scope of the show, Twin Peaks, and all its official media. We don't use the word canon, but we consider all official releases important because Lynch and Frost have approved their presence, and we welcome all input into the collective consciousness that is the Twin Peaks community and wider universe. This podcast is a watch-along podcast for those who've seen all of Twin Peaks, including the third season, which we do consider as we go along. And today, it's a mailbag episode addressing topics covered on the show through the end of season two and leading into what we're going to be doing with Fire Walk With Me. And it's not just me in the office today. We have our field agent, El Holgate, here.
Hey, I am just kind of coming into some kind of physical form, having been floating in some kind of abstract black and white Bardo for quite some time, but really, really great to be back connected to the community and to you and to join in the conversation, because I've been enjoying the podcast as a listener, but I have missed being a part of the collective consciousness of it all. So great to be back.
Yay. And I know I've missed you too, so I'm glad to have you here. All right, but we are doing a mailbag, so I'm just going to jump into it and start out with Colin. Colin James from the Creamed Corn in the Universe podcast. He's absolutely excellent with everything. And he says...
Yes.
Hey, John, I just wanted to say that your podcast is one of the definitive Twin Peaks podcasts out there. The amount of effort and research you put into what went on behind the scenes, exploration of the Twin Peaks mythos, and your keen observations are absolutely great. You set the bar high for others who discuss Twin Peaks, especially in the realm of podcasting. I know you're finished with going over the original series, but I was wondering if you were planning to dedicate an episode to Coop, Citizens Opposed to the Offing of Peaks, at some point. I feel like there's a lot about how the fans reacted to Twin Peaks being canceled, along with the actual reason why ABC eventually finished up season two. Also, will Elle be returning for any particular episodes? She always brings in great observations when she co-hosts. Looking forward to your coverage of Fire Walk With Me and everything else you have lined up for the show. Take care, Colin. And I'm pretty sure you just got an answer, Colin, if Elle's coming back.
Can certainly answer that. I can't answer many things right now, but I can answer that.
Yeah.
I'm just a really big fan of what Colin brings to the conversation. So lovely to hear that from him. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought you'd like that.
More videos as well. From him.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about a Coop episode?
Well, the Coop episode, I mean, as far as I can do with my research and everything, I think I kind of exhausted it. And I did put it in one of the post episode 17 episodes. I think it was, it was the one when they came back from hiatus. So it would have been the one right after Josie died. And I did talk about Coop at that point. And I don't know. I only have so much research ability as it is. And I don't think I can like go around interviewing people who actually were part of Coop. And I think that's about the only thing I had left as an overview for it. But Elle, how long are you planning on being around for?
Well, I mean, I would like to be around for the duration of the project. I've really, really missed it. And, you know, life, I think, for many of us is a juggling act, especially in these times. But I think I've just really missed being part of the conversation and the community. And I think this question is really great because it touches on why the community is so great. They really take this text to heart, and they band together in a way that, you know, is lovely to see. I think I could imagine an episode perhaps focusing more broadly on the Twin Peaks community and the various little idiosyncratic offshoots that have come from that. I think there's a lot of different avenues, not just the Coop era, that we could look at. But obviously we've got the body of text to kind of get through. Before maybe pondering those sorts of bonus episodes. But I would love to kind of delve into that a little bit more.
Excellent. Yeah, well, we'll keep on planning.
Keep on planning.
As far as we've got a few like in series sort of questions along the lines of Coop. Dan Hedfield over on Facebook, he's been watching back. He's been listening to the show, and he's a little bit further back, and he's talking about how it's the Drive with the Dead Girl episode where he says, incidentally, on this podcast, when you're talking about Leland being told by Harry and Coop about Ben's arrest, when Leland is laughing with his back to Coop, it reminds me of the first time we meet the man from another place in the Red Room. Same perspective and shaking. And I just love the echoes in Twin Peaks. Caleb Deschanel directed that. I'm pretty confident that nobody intended it to be like the way the little man was introduced in the episode 3 Red Room sequence that Lynch directed. But I mean, there's all these, you know, I mean, it's just happy accidents and just the theme kind of just resonating through everybody so much that like, it's just there.
I would agree. I mean, I'd love to think that they were had that much foresight and detail orientated perfection that they were thinking. I mean, I think this is what, again, is so great about the community of Twin Peaks is that they are an active member sometimes in creating the text's perfections through its imperfections, through its weird and idiosyncratic synchronicities, the way people can pore over it and find these sorts of things. I don't think they're any less for having maybe not be done on purpose in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I think that's partly what's really fascinating about the genius of Lynch is that he allows things to flow in a way that's uncanny and spontaneous, probably allowing accidents to happen. And I think maybe that's also just hopefully was rubbing off on the people that were working with him and being influenced by his literal style of working, not necessarily like intentional stylistic homages. I'm not sure. I mean, it could have been.
Yeah. Deschanel did go back with him long enough. It's possible, but I don't think he's mentioned it anywhere. So yeah. I think it's just in the
air. Not ever explaining is very clever because you can take credit for things that perhaps you didn't actually plan, but they were there.
Yeah, that he's copped to.
yeah. But do you think that if it was intentional, how would you read that echo?
I'm not sure, other than like they're all kind of like, I don't know, like the characters that Lynch puts in the Red Room are like sort of a family unit in a weird way. Mm-hmm. So like if it was intentional, I wouldn't be surprised if like they're just all kind of like, you know, interacting the same kind of way. I don't know.
Do you think the man from another place could be a kind of dream version of Leland? Is that maybe what Dan was getting at? That they were framed in the same way? Because
yeah, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah. I mean, but the great thing about the ambiguity is I could probably try and make it. If we set that as an essay topic, I think you and I could try and find, we could dig up something to make an argument for it. And no one could tell us we were wrong.
I think we could probably keep that in mind when we go through the supernatural stuff in Fire Walk With Me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Thanks for planting that seed. Yeah. I'm going to bear that in mind.
Yeah. And we got another planted seed over on Instagram. We've got Man-Made Monster saying, my wife and I just listened to your My Life, My Tapes episode, and your thoughts got us talking, as they often do, about Peaks as a whole, which sparked something. Given the askew version of Peaks history that we get in Mark Frost's Secret History book, as well as the Not My Coop, Young Cooper that we get in the Scott Frost book, could it be that Season 3 Cooper pulling Laura out of time not only changed the events of that point on, or that not only changed the events of that point on, but also had ripples backward and changed the history of the town, an area farther back in time as well, and perhaps even Cooper too.
Now we've entered the real crux of the situation.
Yeah.
I mean, firstly, I just want to commend you because you deserve to be decorated more than Garland Briggs with the 6 hours that you put into that episode. So I just want to take a minute of silence for what that took to put that together. I mean, it's very convenient, isn't it, having parallel universes and this time travel Mobius strip loop that we have at the end of The Return. Because it is quite a neat way of tying the more tenuous text to the original. What do you think?
Well, I've had this idea that since my first appearance on Twin Peaks Unwrapped, I was talking about this time quake theory where basically it's kind of like what they mentioned where it's like where the supernatural and the physical world kind of meet, like sometimes interactions are so like earthquakey or, you know, bomb like or anything where it does ripple back and forth and change at least the way we understood things. And like, you know, it doesn't change the events themselves, but it changes the understanding of what we see. So I kind of feel like the I don't know. I mean, it's a thing where like the supernatural like doesn't necessarily change anything, but it changes everything about how we get, you know, how we understand the world in a way. And I kind of feel like there's something like that going on in Twin Peaks where it's like not even necessarily like multiple timelines or anything like that. Because, yeah, I mean, if there were multiple timelines, there'd be multiple, dossiers from Briggs, rather than a whole bunch of different aspects like being mentioned in the same dossier. Like, I don't know. We'll be talking about that a lot more, too, in the future, especially after Firewalk.
Of course, yeah,
definitely doing Secret History.
I mean, I don't really go in for any kind of supernatural lore when it comes to Twin Peaks. And I didn't read, I don't want to go into it too much in my thoughts of season three, but I didn't really read it as supernatural. I think it's, well, as I said before, for people that have, you know, heard the few times I've contributed, I do read it more as a kind of like psychological horror of, how each character remembers their past or envisages their present, the denial, the cognitive dissonance, differing perspectives that people have of what's going on. And then also like the meta-ness of it. But I don't know how I would tie that to Mark Frost and my tapes. My life. I don't know. Yeah. That is a conundrum. That is a conundrum.
Yeah, it's going to be fun because like you do the meta angle and I do basically I think the supernatural is kind of in that same spot with my own theorizing. So it's going to be fun to kind of combine them because like I really think that, you know, it's just like the way you see it more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think, I mean, you could argue that psychology is supernatural in some way, like dreaming is a supernatural almost thing, you know, consciousness is a supernatural thing, you know, you can go down that route.
Yeah, exactly. It's personified consciousness.
But in terms of like, are there specific plot holes that you really struggle with within My Life, My Tapes? That I don't think you love that aspect of the wider Twin Peaks universe. do you think it just doesn't serve it? Do you think there's a world where we just go, not canon, not really?
It's just muddying
the waters.
I just kind of lean into Twin Peaks, like where like the stuff that I don't think is as well thought out is probably the stuff that isn't quite so solid anyway. And I just kind of go like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. It's not so bad. It ruins the actual thing.
Yeah. And like, you know, if I ever,
yeah, I kind of see it more as fan fiction, I think, yeah, the book. Yeah.
Like if I ever am going to do something with timelines, it's going to be, not very precise, you know. Like I'm not gonna be like anchoring, you know, this happens here. It's like whatever. I don't even think Lynch and Frost do that.
Yeah, because you could go down, I mean, you could draw timelines and diagrams and some kind of quantum equation and probably still find some of the ends don't quite match. Maybe they're not meant to.
Exactly.
But I do, yeah, I think it's hard to answer this question without going too deep down into our thoughts on the return. So I think you're going to have to tune in when we dive in for how we feel about how those timelines affect everything. And I think that's what I'm really looking forward to is I'm just so glad we've got season 3. I mean, I'm so, so grateful that happened at that time with all those people that were still alive and Lynch able to do it pre-pandemic. You know, there were a lot of stars that aligned, and I think it has just made rewatching the first few seasons even richer. It really added to it.
So it adds
like all these other little doorways and avenues to take down, to go down and take your theories. So it's a really fun thing to embark on.
Yep, you got it. We've got kind of a question in the same sort of vein about, like, you know, how does it fit from Ham on Toast over at Reddit. And and they say, love the podcast. One thing I was hoping you'd talk about in season 2 coverage is whereabouts you thought Briggs' reveal of Jowday to Cole and Cooper and the devising of their plan happened. I kind of feel like this is one where it's not exactly a timeline issue, but like I feel like there's this positive and negative frequency in Twin Peaks, especially coming up in Fire Walk With Me, which was kind of where it begins. But I feel like there are ways where like the perception is split a little bit. And I feel like in that positive scene with, you know, Cole and Shelley and Cooper and Annie, and, you know, like all the love going on in there, I could not be shocked if they decided that, like, also on like this other negative frequency sort of vibe, instead of having Margaret in there talking about Pi, they'd have Briggs in there talking about Jowday and like them like planning ahead.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, is that the only logical time that they were all there?
I think it's the only time after Briggs got his info dump from the White Lodge or whatever the whatever his abduction was, and Cole was also in town, so I feel like it has to be in there if you're gonna focus on continuity. And
it makes sense that he would come back from whatever kind of transcendental state he was in with that information, right?
Yes.
Maybe he was meeting with Philip Jeffrey in some kind of teapot and discussing the ways and means.
Yeah, because like getting an info dump from the lodges, I mean, it's kind of like an unreliable narrator kind of thing anyway, because you don't remember it until you remember it. So
again, this is something I do think I'm going to have to buy a big whiteboard for season 3.
And I think that's a good idea. That's kind of what I had when I was writing about it.
Because I need to visualize it and actually see where these things are looping back from with the time travel aspect. My mind does melt a little bit when it starts to come to the time travel of it all. And that's the fun. That's the fun part. We love to have our minds melted a little bit. Good question, though. Very good question.
Yeah. I know. I really appreciate that question because that was one that I actually had in my notes at one point, and then I lost track of it by the time I got there. So thank you.
I mean, yeah, that's, again, it's all questions that we should have in our ongoing notes for the things to look at in season three. But do you think that there were things in season three that were maybe in the writer's room for the first two seasons or planned for the what would have been the third season in, like, say, 92 or something, if they'd continued, that ended up in The Return? Or do you think that was way past it by then?
See, I honestly think that, like, they only planned ahead a couple episodes at a time, and they only planned their potential season three in, like, broad strokes at the end of that season. So I wouldn't be shocked if some of it is still there, but, like, only in, like, the... you know, like, oh, Briggs was going to help, you know, like stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt like that Briggs storyline with him going missing and having some kind of download was going to be investigated. And, you know, there was more to come from him and that whole secret code that he was working on. And yeah, so I think maybe there were threads, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is
exactly.
Quite masterful how it links together, despite the lack of planning.
Yeah, lack of show Bible, too.
Yeah.
All right, now I think it's about time to start looking into Fire Walk With Me that we're going to be doing. Over on Instagram, HyacinthBucket99 commented about the episode that I did with Mitch about... not being like when I said I wasn't even able to look at that one, you know, who are you really seeing in Fire Walk With Me? They say, I'm listening to your newest episode. Great job. And I had to stop and tell you there are some episodes and even Fire Walk With Me that I have watched less than five times, maybe five tops since I started watching Twin Peaks. And I've been watching since the pilot aired. I was around 13 when it aired and was really into the Bob scenes and it terrified me. Still does. I knew by a scene or even music when I needed to start fast forwarding while looking away. I love hearing that I'm not the only one. And Hyacinth Bucket, I absolutely also say I love hearing that I'm not the only one. How do you fare on stuff like this, Elle?
I am a bit of a masochist, I think, when it comes to this. I find it cathartic in a very weird way. Although, obviously, there are parts definitely of Fire Walk With Me that, you know, I find it a hard watch. It's a very visceral film, even more so than the series. It's, you know, you're in Laura's trauma, and that is a hard space to be in for 2 hours. So... yeah. I do understand. I do find Fire Walk With Me generally. Like, I actually find the noises really hard because it's a very, like, I feel like it plays with your senses or like with the audio art of it. There's that scene where Leland and Laura are in the car with the honking and the shouting and I don't know. It's just, I get so overstimulated watching that one scene. It really just gets my nervous system going on all cylinders. I don't struggle as much as some people do, weirdly. And actually, weirdly, Bob's never scared me so much, weirdly. My mom told me that when she watched Twin Peaks very briefly, because there wasn't much TV in South Africa, that just the vision of that man's face, like she literally was just flipping channels and she was like, no, not in my house. No way. I'm a good Christian lady. And that was that. But he doesn't scare me so much. It's more like actually, I think the emotion of the characters like Laura, of what she goes through, I find that more difficult.
Yeah.
What about you? Any other aspects you struggle with? On a kind of emotional or fear.
I mean, that pretty much covers the gamut right there. Like, I don't know. Like, it's been interesting watching through Fire Walk With Me for this, mm-hmm. and like just mm-hmm. like finally kind of forcing myself to really see the Laura side. Like, you know, it's like I've always known it was there and everything, but like I've always kept her story more at a distance than most of the other stuff, because I mean, I came in as a Cooper guy, but yeah. Like, you know, it's so much, it's so hard, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. like I've always felt terrible for her and everything, but like I feel like mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know. it's gonna be really cathartic for me just to do these episodes with you in the next, you know, the next mm-hmm. couple of them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Fire Walk With Me, I think, is the pinnacle of what is hard about Twin Peaks, because it's her story, and that is the hardest part. And it's really lovely to have the positive. Like, I love how you frame it with the negative and the positive frequencies. That the show, you know, is perfectly. It's a really good metaphor, because it is like that, and you get
yeah
the more cozy, like, you know, like the kind of like, what's that Swedish word for like a cozy, like fireside, you know, like higgy feeling from it. And yet how does that live next to the darkest possible imaginable psychological horror? It's
yeah
incredible that they somehow walk that line. But I guess you need that comforting cherry pie yeah. to help the trauma go down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Fire Walk With Me is pretty thin on the ground when it comes to the cute stuff, which is, I think, partly why it was not so popular. People were like, where's my quirky jazz track, you know?
Yep. Yeah, one of our commenters, Billy Yum Yum 9 from Reddit, he kind of sums up like the disconnect there. Like, yeah, he said, or they say, I think the biggest reason for the tonal shift between seasons 1 and 2 and Fire Walk With Me is mostly due mm-hmm. to the fact that the series is focused on the town, allowing the room for levity. Fire Walk With Me is focused on Laura's last days on Earth, which are just harrowing.
Yeah. And then I think the return explodes that trauma out into the, you know, from the micro of Laura's story into the macro of, I think, more of a like broader worldview.
Yeah.
What I suspect Lynch is generally saying in all of his work. But I, you know, she was the key, I think, to some of his best films, because you wouldn't have your Betty Elms in Mulholland Drive or your Nikki in Inland Empire, or to a lesser degree, Patricia Arquette's character in Lost Highway. And, you know, she was the key, I think, to his best cinematic work. So I'm super grateful for her being the one that opened the door.
Absolutely. Me too. Now, I am going to just go into the last two comments we've got. Mm-hmm. Also from Reddit, we've got Commission Junior 4283 saying, love the pod. With Fire Walk With Me, it'd be great to hear some discussion on the new ideas introduced by David, in parentheses, The Ring, Jeffries, Judy, etc. Why they were introduced, what they might have been inspired by, and how they changed the trajectory of the story in the return. Great work, can't wait to hear more. So yeah, it'll be interesting. After all the stuff we just talked about, like, you know, the heaviness of the Laura side of things, it'll be interesting to like put the lore into it too, and just bridge the gap into season 3.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of people that say that season 3 owes more to Fire Walk With Me than
mm-hmm.
the original series. So that's that. You know, it is really like a bridge piece between what came before and then what we got at the end. So
yeah, and I'm one of those people too that believes that.
Definitely. And you're our law king.
Ish.
King of the law. Lord of the law.
Not so much, but I'll take it.
I'll take it. All right. I'll give you that with your decorated work so far.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got one last one from Under the Fan, and mm-hmm. they sent this over Twitter. Yeah. And I'm not calling it X.
Yeah, no, I was calling it X.
Yeah. So he said, "Hey, John, I've been doing a rewatch of season 1 and 2 and really enjoyed listening to your podcast prior to watching the episodes. You are so thorough in your analysis, and it really brings up things I haven't noticed before or poses questions I haven't thought of before. I don't have a specific mailbag question, but I am really looking forward to your Fire Walk With Me episodes, as Fire Walk With Me is my favorite part of all Twin Peaks. One topic I think would be very interesting would be analyzing the final Laura and James scene and comparing it to how it's used in part 17. Why did Lynch choose to repeat the scene? How does it differ from its use in Fire Walk With Me? And why is it presented in a different way now?" And yes, this is definitely on my list.
It's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Under the Fan continues, "This is my favorite scene in Fire Walk With Me and my favorite moment of Lee's performance. And I've been really interested in Lynch's choices to show it to us again, but in a different way." Mm. And then they wrap up saying, "Also hoping Elle comes back to the show, as I enjoy hearing her thoughts as well and how yours and her thoughts bounce off each other. In any case, keep up the great work, John."
Wow. Very much. Under the Fan. I mean, with a name like Under the Fan, that was apt on every level. Fan of the podcast, yeah. fan of the fan in Fire Walk With Me. I think yes is what I say to that, because I think the repetition is just so key to Twin Peaks. It's literally in the name. There's twins, there's tulpas, there's shadows, there's mirrors. This repetition galore. I think any specific parts that are echoing back from, and then this is like such specific parts, this is literally showing us that film from that scene, we'll have to look at very closely. What you need without giving too much away.
I just love, like, the focus on the slight variation is definitely going to be something that I'm focused on. And, you know, it's like just seeing what, you know, you'll say that it's, more of like, you know, psychology in play or whatever. And I kind of feel like it's also, it's a yes and with the supernatural. And, it's going to be really cool to do that to that particular scene, which is definitely on our shopping list of things to do, but it's like one of so many.
It reminds me of the line in Lost Highway where he says, "I like to remember things how I choose to remember things."
Yes.
So I think there's questions for me around memory. Whose perception are we seeing when we see the scene for the first time and then for the second time? Like, I want to really like marinate in who is our narrator. Like, I mean, you can't tell me that the question, who is the dreamer, is not just a direct question of whose perspective are we seeing? And I think there's also a lot of questions for me around how it relates to Lynch's other works as well, because I think as it stands, it might be the last thing we ever see from him. The last film, the last 18-hour film that we ever see from him. And it does feel like there are aspects that are like retrospectives, not just to Twin Peaks, but to like major themes and, you know, actresses and actors he's worked with. And possibly him working through stuff about his own life and career and how he feels about the characters now as an older man compared to when he was a young gun, you know, with his first TV show. Well, was it his first TV show? I don't know how to add too much more to that without us going into a very deep rabbit hole.
Absolutely.
Thanks for highlighting that, Under the Fan, because I think there's so much to ask about that specific. I mean, I got chills when I watched that scene. I really did get the hair standing up on my on the neck when that came back. I was like, he's not taking us back. Like, truly returning us to that moment. And it's a really powerful moment. There's no doubt about it. You know, it's a lot of powerful moments, but that's one that really stands out. just also want to answer the questions and what she says to James, you know, about reference made to a man that was killed, and just, you know, there's maybe a plot hole there, or maybe some of it was to come, or maybe a, yeah, so many things, so many questions.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to digging in. But right now, we should probably wrap up before we do start going into Firewalk with Me right now.
Got me fired up for Firewalk with Me right now.
Yeah. Soon, folks. You have been listening to the Blue Rose Task Force podcast, a production of Ruminations Radio Network. If you resonate with what you're hearing, please subscribe, rate, and review our show. And we would love to connect with you on our various social media accounts. I'm barely on Facebook, slightly more active on Twitter at Blue Rose TF Pod. And if you really want to find me, I'm active on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at Blue Rose Task Force, and soon to be Tumblr at Blue Rose Task Force Pod. And Elle, where are we going to find you?
Yes, please do connect with me. I am largely diving into Lynchian stuff through my Instagram that's dedicated to anything related to David Lynch and the many hands of his work, and that is David Lynch's hands. But you can also find my own personal social on E11E Sounds.
And if you want to visit the network on a wider view, you can visit ruminationsradionetwork.com or our YouTube channel for additional great shows such as Tony's Tall Tales and Modernist Monastery. And you can find any number of classic 25YL Twin Peaks articles, including my entire Electricity Nexus column at 25yearslatersci.com. Send any comments, questions, or feedback to bluerosetaskforcepodcast@gmail.com, and we could do another one of these anytime, or, you know, catch us on our socials, and you'll hear discussed in one of these kind of mailbag episodes. But, you know, until then, listeners, until we get to our Fire Walk With Me coverage, I'll see you in my dreams.
This is a gift to all the fans.